The problem is Wendy can recognise them. Anyway, what I wanted to do is I wanted to pray before, and I find myself these days filled with huge thankfulness to God for you guys. I do believe that God's brought us, brought a group of people together who are unusually one in mind and spirit, and of course that's been reflected in some of the things that that Carl has been noticing increasingly has been with us. And I just want to pray into that for a moment or two, and then we're going to get to talk. Father, when you look around, we seem to be very diverse in background, in interests, in age, in spiritual journey and all that kind of stuff. But Lord, I want to thank you that there are more than enough people here to change the world. Lord, that you know what you're doing and that you've brought us together for this time. And Lord, I want to take that position as well about the things that I'm going to speak about this morning and the direction we're going to be taking over the next few weeks. That, Lord, you're about just releasing us and encouraging us and bringing us to new places and new things. And Father, we thank you that we've got this promise about you adding people to us, and we just sense that's true and that's a good thing, and that we've come through some stuff and we're ready for the next phase. And Lord, we pray that because of that, because of what you want us to do, that you'll give us all the faith to step up to the next level. Father, we do pray for those times when we find ourselves thinking, well, everybody else is better than me, everybody else understands, everybody else can get it. And Lord, that we begin to recognise those as being hugely negative influences in our lives. And that because of that, we'll be able to live the life of Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, last time I talked about the kingdom of God, and there were a lot of people missing. This time I'm going to be talking about the kingdom of God as well, and what I'd like you to do, this runs for a couple of minutes, is... Hey guys, I'm never sure with you lot whether you're talking about what you're supposed to be talking about, but fellowship is a sacrament too. I want to talk about the kingdom of God. By the way, you'll see that I've actually sort of captioned all the videos through this. If you want to watch the videos properly in full, you'll get the links to them if you go on to the audio section of the website, and there'll be the accompanying PowerPoint to them, which won't have the videos in because it's not our right to embed them in every case, but you'll be able to link to them anyway. And some of them are great, and there are loads more that we couldn't actually get round to using. My theme was, when Jesus talked about the kingdom, he was only joking. And Wendy pointed out to me afterwards that, as she often does, and I'm really glad that I have people who talk to me in detail about what I've spoken about, that I hadn't really explained what I meant by the fact he was only joking. I don't think he was being cynical or laughing or not taking the issue seriously, but there was a real joke going on when he was talking, and let me explain. First of all, last week I explained that one of the best ways of understanding the kingdom was to think of it in our modern terms, because for us a kingdom speaks of tyranny, right? You know, a kingdom, an absolute monarch or so on, even with the election debates, suggestion that it's moving towards presidential, because instead of voting for a party, voting for an ideology, you're actually voting for somebody who you like or don't like, or at least can just about bear. I put this verse up, which actually comes from Romans, which is a bit of a strange place. But you've got to remember that the verse happens with the fact that Paul is talking here about a real practical issue, and the practical issue is this. One of the things that the Jews were really keen on, just like the Muslims are today, was eating meat that had been killed in a particularly regulated, proper way. And they were saying, if you want to be part of the way, which, by the way, was the name of the Christian religion before it was people started mocking them by calling them Christians, little Christ. It was called the way. If you wanted to be part of the way, then you had to obey the Jewish rules. And that meant that you were either a vegetarian or that you made sure you went to the equivalent of a halal butcher where the meat had been drained and you weren't getting a lot of blood and stuff. So this big discussion's going on. And Paul says, look, this is not a big deal, right? This is not a big deal. So I'll give you this brilliant example here, which I think will help to put how it affects different cultures. Somebody I knew was on their honeymoon, and this couple went into a church in Italy. She had done a degree in Italian, and they were thoroughly witnessed to, because the assumption had been made that they were non-Christians. After the course of the meeting, they realised that, yeah, these were believers too, and they invited them round for a meal, and it was a real Italian meal, and when they were on the grappa at the end, they talked about, why did you think we weren't Christians? Oh, well, that was really obvious. They told the wife, you were wearing trousers and lipstick, and you can't be a Christian, right? If you know, that's the way we think. And they went on to talk about the fact that, well, they knew Christians in the States who were so preoccupied with appearance that they thought that it was a God-fearing thing to do, an appropriate thing to do, to make sure you looked your best and spend as much money as God gave you. You'd pray in the money for cosmetic surgery, right? Now, this resonated with me because I spent quite a bit of my time at something called the Christian Booksellers Association in the States, and there were many middle-aged women there where you felt as though if you flicked their face, it would shatter, you know, sort of the heavy makeup, particularly people who were on Christian TV who were wandering around. And that was just the men, actually. But then they said, well, do you know, in America, there are people who believe that you can't be a Christian if you drink alcohol. And these Italians sort of laughed themselves off their seats. How could you not drink alcohol? You know, Jesus drunk alcohol. It's something that's got... So here are these sort of things. And it just actually makes the point that it's easy to turn God's kingdom into following sets of rules like eating and drinking. But it says it's about pleasing God, about living in peace and about true happiness. Okay? So that's really what it is. And it really is interesting about putting these three things together, because there are a load of people who are really into pleasing God, but don't live at peace. You know, they're all wound up.
Yeah.
And they're not really happy either. And there are people who are happy and cool, but that's because they let everything slide. You know, it doesn't matter about anything. There are some people who seem to be happy, seem to be interested in pleasing God, but put them behind the wheel of a car, and there's something else going on. So the kingdom of God is what it's saying. It's not only these three things, but it's well-rounded. It's about all sorts of stuff. And in thinking about that during this week, I'm really certain that I'm onto something here, said he, sort of blowing his own trumpet. But I was thinking about this one as well, in a big chunk of Bible here in Luke 18, where it says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You know, being rich and being in the kingdom of God is a sort of contradiction, which leads on to this business about jokes. So when you think of kingdom, think of a way of living. It's not the only way, because the kingdom of God is also God's righteous reign and rule, but it's a way of living. And you remember that I talked to you last week about saying that your way of living, your ideal way of living, is your kingdom. So if you're thinking being rich having a lot of leisure, living in a nice house. That's your kingdom. Okay? That's really what you're aspiring to. So here is Jesus. And I want to talk about what was the joke. So excuse me doing an English lesson for a moment. I do love the English language and the way in which it works. But I want to... Jesus was using a figure of speech called irony. Right? So what's irony? I nearly showed you a video of irony, which I can refer you to, which I thought was very funny indeed, but was pretty ironic anyway, but it was trying to explain the word. Now, look at this. The expression meaning through the use of language, which normally signifies the opposite, typical for humorous effect. So, if somebody says to you, what sort of day have you had? Looks as though it's been quite difficult. You say, yeah, it was a really good day. You know, that's been ironic, isn't it? And look at this. This just amuses me. A state of affairs, this is a dictionary definition, so it's supposed to make it easy to understand. A state of affairs that appears perversely contrary to what one expects. You look up the word perverse in the dictionary, do you know what it means? Contrary. So there you go. And of course, that's the curse of dictionaries, that once you open one, three quarters of an hour later, you're still chasing words through that got nothing to do with where you started. So just think of an example of irony. I thought this was a good one. Okay, that's ironic. So, how was Jesus ironic? Okay, you got this definition in mind. There, sort of. He says something which is not ironic. He says God blesses those, when he's talking about who depend only on him, God blesses those who are treated badly for doing what's right. So, the first thing he says, God blesses those people who've got no resources of their own. Right, they depend on God. They haven't got a lot of money in the bank. They don't feel competent. They haven't got a lot of stuff. And then he said, God blesses those who are treated badly for doing right. By the way, God doesn't bless those who are treated badly, because with some people, it serves them right when they're treated badly. And quite a lot of us feel persecuted, where in fact, we deserve it. You know, sort of... it actually says in Peter, it says, when you're persecuted for doing right, said, because there are a lot of Christians who actually get persecuted for being lazy, and they deserve that. What he says is God blesses those who depend on him. God blesses those who are treated badly for doing right. And there's a whole lot of stuff in Matthew 5 in between those. But then he brings out this thing which makes you realise that when he talks about the kingdom, there is a degree of irony there, because he says the kingdom of heaven belongs to those. So, reign and rule, power, authority, belong to those who feel incompetent and haven't got anything. Duh. That's not why we joined up with Jesus. Okay, you see this writ large in John 6, when people leave Jesus because he's not promising them the chance to dominate the Romans, have a lot of money, good return on their investments, all that sort of stuff. And then he says, God blesses those who are treated badly for doing right. You see, they thought the chance was going to come when they were going to really give the Romans as good as they'd got. And he says, no, when you're treated badly for doing right, that's the kingdom of heaven belonging to you. That's the kingdom of heaven coming. Very strange stuff Jesus was talking about. And you'll see that. And I want to come back if we get chance today. If not, I'll try and write something about this, because I can't quite see where I'm going to get time otherwise to do it. When we were singing Our God Reigns this morning, you've got to unscramble that, because what does it mean? Because we can sing Our God Reigns, and in our lives, we're thinking, if I sing this hard enough, it may be that I'll be a winner all the time, that everything will go well for me. You can't help but think that sometimes. You know, if God's reigning, then why is life not going right? Now, I was going to, I'd skip this one last week, didn't I? But I'm going to skip it again, because although it's a good piece from Brian McLaren, I just haven't got time to deal with it now. So, right, going on to the next one. Now, last week we talked about the kingdom as seed. You did some work on that, and we're going to do a bit of work this morning on another one. And that was about the process of the kingdom, about the way in which growth occurs. It takes time, needs nurturing and resources. You can't make it happen, right? It grows by itself. It's delicate at early stages. I can't remember how we got to moving out of comfort zone, but we all agreed that it fitted there. The fruit was not like the seed, that there's multiplication involved, there's harvest, and that you need protection for it. I wanted to go on this morning to say, to get us to examine a bit more broadly what it takes to be in the kingdom. Right? What does it take to be in the kingdom? Do you have to sign up? Is it somewhere where you've got to be a taxpayer, or you've got to be a qualified elector, or you've got to join up with the kingdom? What does it say? Okay, so here's these guys who are arguing with Jesus, saying, right, who is the most important around here? I think I'm more important than he is, and therefore when you come in your kingdom, I want to be in the cabinet, right? And I want one of the major posts of state, and possibly he can be my assistant minister. And Jesus says to them, he said, well, hang on for a moment, the kingdom of God, the new way of living, isn't like that. It's like this. And you've got to become like little children to be part of the process and to be part of that kingdom process. Okay? Simple idea, an idea you've heard before. But let's work at it, because we need to, just in the same way as we need to stuff the stuff about seeds into our thinking, we also need to put this thing about being children. Now, you do understand that I do think there is authority and that there is, well, in fact, we may well come to that as we go along here. But what we'll do is, whoops, sorry. Let's just hold this one for a moment. We're going to do a think, note, share. You know, like I showed you a thing about seeds last time and got people to make some notes about it and to share with one another, and then we wrote it up on the board. I want you to think about, why did Jesus say that you need to be like a child to enter the kingdom of God? Okay, that's the question. I'm going to have a look at that. And I went through lots of clip show things where with little children, and they were very funny. And most of them, of course, actually involve children between 3 and 5 or between 2 and 4 beelining. You know, going straight for things and not noticing their physical environment falling over. And so there's a load of slapstick in that. Now, bear that in mind about the fact that those things that children do. But this is just somebody trying out their new camera, one like I've just got, having a look at a child's day as they're doing it. So what I want you to do is to see what the idea of a small child and the way a small child is tells us about the kingdom of God. It runs for 2-3 minutes, so there should be a chance for you to make a mental note or two, to talk to somebody about it, and then we'll feed it back on the screen. Okay, let's take our feedback, guys. Nigel, Andy in the back row, what did you come up with? Just give us a thought. Kingdom being like a child.
He's obviously got a relationship with his dad.
That's something, isn't it? Okay. Somebody else towards the back over this side, yeah?
Things needed to be done, but you didn't have to do them in a prescribed way.
Yeah. Right, now you turn that into a short, into three words.
I'll say that is there are restrictive rules.
Yeah. Yeah, no restrictive rules. That does good. Try that one when it comes to bedtime, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Somebody over at the back there? Louise or Ian, David?
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm, yeah? Of course, there are some things that come to mind which you won't have seen specifically. I hope I don't make you guys pass out with this pen. Just, yeah, I must get another one. I don't have to hold it arm's length. Yeah, something else over here.
Fascination with the mundane.
Yeah.
Can you spell enthusiasm, Dave?
Yeah, that's an abbreviation. Yeah. Okay. Next one. Who else?
Uncomplicated.
Uncomplicated, yeah. Pardon?
Fun.
Fun, yeah. Couple more. Free to make mistakes, yeah. The expectations are quite important, aren't they, with the child?
There's a naivete around that is also a bit like simplistic, but it's kind of a naive trust.
Yeah. What, yeah. I want to sort of put that around this sort of cluster of stuff here, mainly because I can't spell naivety, not without a lot of thinking. But unselfconscious there.
It's a complete dependence, isn't it? Not only physically, but emotionally as well. And that goes with trust. And it's like the relationship, it goes with the relationship thing as well.
Trust dependence. Yeah.
Parents are so important.
And of course, that leads to fearlessness, doesn't it? Yeah. Right, we'll stop there because we've run out of paper and running out of time. Obviously, this one, trust, has got to be the specific, because Jesus actually says about trusting like a little child. So that's the one, the key reference. I think this one here is obviously right up at the top. But just as well, but why don't you just talk to one another about, out of those other things, which one you would rank as most important in kingdom terms about being like a little child? What would you think? Just shout out if you've got a suggestion. Marion's saying free to make mistakes is important. Any was that the one? Being uncomplicated, yeah. Yeah, being simple. Interesting, isn't it, how we don't actually sing very many songs that spell out this sort of stuff. Of course, we've got the great song, Father God, I Wonder, the Ishmael song, you know, which is a brilliant song and has stuck through the years about that relationship and about how significant it is. But we don't necessarily go into some of the detail here about relationship and about being uncomplicated. The relationship, the father relationship, which is so important and quite often with people because they had, you can remember, oh, was it Rose whose dad had been a drayman?
Yes.
Yeah. An elderly lady who we worked with when we were in Dagenham came to faith, and she said to us on one occasion, she said, I find it really difficult to talk about God as a father, because my dad used to drive the beard raise, you know, the one with the big horse-drawn things with barrels on, in the 20s and 30s. And everywhere he stopped, he would drink free beer. And when he came home, it was a really bad experience. It was only when he was completely passed out that the family felt safe. And if that's your experience, then you need to enter a new one, because we get it the wrong way around if we say God is like a good father. It's great when that's true, but a good father's like God. And that's actually a good mother's like God as well, because God gathers us like a mother chicken, and he's a good father, and there's all that sort of stuff in there. Okay, now let's try and pull this together and do some top tips, but do a little conceptual work first. Now, I've been thinking a bit about this, and I think we'll try and put this... We'll stop, if I don't get to the top tips, when the children come out. But let's start with this idea of our God reigns. When you say that, what do you mean? That our God reigns.
Is in control.
As, sorry, what?
The ultimate father.
Yeah, the ultimate father.
The idea of where I'd like him in my life.
Yeah.
It's always happened, but it's where I'd like him to be. So, yeah, right.
What does it mean in practical terms?
We're always obedient.
We're always obedient, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's the one who sets the rules.
He's the one who sets the rules. Yeah. All right, let's add another one to it with a more specific application. Pen top stuck. This one. Okay, he's got the whole world in his hands. You can see that I can give myself real problems during worship if I sit there spending the whole time deconstructing the songs as we go along. But what do we mean by that? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's all powerful. In what sense? So he has the power to stop train crashes. He has the power to make sure I don't lose money. He has the power to. Yeah? You're helping us along, Ian. I know that you understand that it's complicated, isn't it? It's a difficult thing. How do we explain that? Because we do believe he's got the whole world in his hands. And we also believe the kingdom is near. Right? But what does that mean in practice? Now, let's talk about it in this way. And I just want to add some stuff together. You see, if the kingdom of God has come, right, and it's here now, then every time we pray for somebody, they will be healed. And of course, there are people who believe that. You'd refer to them as being positivists about that. We declare it strong enough. We make a positive declaration. We declare things that are not as though they were, which is true. All these currents are true. And then everything should turn out okay. Now it doesn't. So, pardon?
His permissible will is perfect.
Yeah, and people have that sort of thing about, that's one way of, that was the way I was brought up to think about that, and I think that is quite useful to think about perfect, permissible, the idea of pinpoint and what's around there. What happened with the development of the Vineyard churches, and because they relied on some stuff that somebody had written about the kingdom, they actually brought in this idea and made it popular of the fact the kingdom of God is now but not yet. Okay? Do you get that? The kingdom of God is now. So, here are two markers. And if you're not aware of the phrases I'm going to use now, then I'm sorry, get somebody else to explain it to you and tell me if they can't, because they should be able to. But here is Jesus' first coming. I'm sorry about the script, this being low. People who put this up didn't put it on its highest. And here is Jesus' second coming. Okay? Now, when Jesus came, the kingdom of God came. Right? But there's an extent to which, since then, the kingdom of God has still not been here in fullness. And what I like to think of is that when Jesus came, right, after he went back to heaven, something happened like this, and sometimes the kingdom of God breaks through. Now, if you think in terms of the kingdom being now but not yet, this gives us some understanding of the term breakthrough and what it means. It also means that whenever we pray for people, we can expect that God will heal sometimes. Right? So we should always be ready to pray for people. And pray for people with expectation. Because we know that expectation is an important thing in seeing the kingdom of God come. Faith. Like a little child, trust. Important. Gifting as well is an important thing. Do you know one of the things that's really interesting, people make a really, really, really big deal about in terms of seeing God break through? They make the point about holiness. And actually, specifically, Paul says holiness doesn't count. Because it gets you in a load of trouble anyway, because that's why healing ministries are expected to stand by a higher standard. And they think they're higher as well. And so they really do sort of get themselves into a real loop with that. But if you look at Galatians 3, Paul says you can't heal people by being holy. You heal people because of faith. So you can be unholy and full of faith and holy and not full of faith. Yeah. It's important to be holy. Yeah. But not in order for us to be able to achieve some sort of productivity that we like. The other thing that I think is really useful is that, and this is not out of this thinking, but it's something that we've been talking about for a couple of years, and that's this, that if we think of the kingdom of heaven being up in heaven and us down here, it doesn't seem very near, does it? Which is why I like this idea of thin places. The fact that the kingdom of God in all its fullness, if we don't think about it in terms of time, could be, for want of an argument, 3 feet away from us. Just the other side of a thin dividing wall. And it breaks through. And that's why, although I do not like the weirdness of this angel stuff, or gold dust, or all that kind of thing, I have to accept that I don't know what that kingdom of God in all its power is like. And if it breaks through, I bet I'm going to say to you, oh, I didn't realise it was like that. And some of you are going to say, I told you so. And I'm going to say to you, I told you so, because it wasn't like you expected either. So, we are committed to weirdness, because there's this super weird kingdom where God acts in total power and is totally unconstrained, just a little way away from us. Okay? So, I know that's been all up in the air, so let's try and nail it down with some top tips to take away. And we'll do this very quickly. And the first one is this. That the kingdom of God is not about learning, it's about loving. It's about relationship. Okay? So that's the thing. God has made us to be people with desires, not degrees. Right? Which is one of the really important things about tongues. Okay? You cannot get a GCSE in tongues. Yeah? It means that you have to create some headspace in order to get there. The other thing which I brought out last week is that shaking is a useful test of the kingdom. I've been going on for 50 minutes, but lots of that was video anyway. Shaking is a useful test of the kingdom. So, when crap happens in your life, it's a brilliant way of finding out what your life is based on. Because if we've got this idea that we're dependent on God, and it's okay when we're insulted and people say bad stuff about us, then we won't be shaken. Right? If we do believe that God's got the whole world in his hands, then if bad things happen, we still feel safe. And so being shaken is one of the best things that can happen in terms of processing whether you're into a new way of living or not. And I hate it when it happens. I really do. It's not something that we enjoy. The third thing is that we dealt with last time, and also comes out being a child, is that the kingdom comes slowly. Right? It can come suddenly, but it comes gradually as well. And the most important thing of all we've learned this morning is the fundamental characteristic of a small child is trust. That's how you get into the kingdom of heaven. Not by analysis, not by effort, but by trusting. Quick prayer. Father, we